Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 107, I believe, of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We have all the boys together for the first time in what seems like a while.
2 weeks.
2 weeks? Is that it?
Yep.
Feels
Are you sure? I feel like, 2 weeks ago I had COVID.
I think it's longer.
Yeah, two weeks ago I had COVID.
I feel like we haven't since, I think like the first week I was in Mexico and then that was it.
Yeah, I think that
so that was like a month and a half ago almost.
So what happened last week, everybody?
Last week I said
initially that I was going to be away. I made it very clear like 3 weeks before I can't do that week. And they're like, okay, we'll plan for it. Eric's like, I want to meet at 5:15. Do it early because I'm going to go to Mexico. And what happened, Eric?
I had to keep working until like 7.
Luke made one. And then Luke and I were sitting there. And then Luke's like, it was like 15 minutes. And Luke's like, I have to leave in like 20. So this is no no-go anymore. So I then made one and sat there for another 20.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin. I think we were just waiting for Eric to respond. Like, he didn't even tell us. He didn't have the decency to tell us what was going on.
So this is what happened. So I'm like, okay, I blocked off my calendar from 5 to like 6:30 p.m. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be podcast time. I just put it as dinner on my work calendar. Podcast time isn't really a reason to be off. But anyways. And then right as 5 hits, or my CEO sends me a message. He's like, can you join? Or 5 minutes before 5 hits, he's like, can you join me on Zoom quickly? I'm like, okay. He said quickly. So that means I'll be done in a couple minutes. So I was like, I'm still sure I'm going to be here. And then that meeting lasted an hour and a half long. And what was supposed to be quickly turned into us discussing like 20 different topics that all had to be covered. And yeah.
So that without getting fired, was it important enough to warrant?
It was important enough to waste Martin's time. Yeah, for sure. It was important enough to waste Martin's time on a Wednesday, for sure. I have no doubts there. Because Martin's time's worth basically nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
Luke's time's actually worth something, you know?
Yeah, correct. I have two jobs, okay, boys? Like, my time is so valuable. And then every night now there's a baseball game or a hockey game that I have to watch. So cutting into that time is brutal.
Baseball's hard to watch. Like, there's so many games.
Yeah, I don't watch every game. I might like throw it on for like an hour each game, or if I have like time. I don't plan my life around it as much as I do with hockey.
And they're like 3 hours, right? Like,
yeah, typically.
The average?
The hockey games are basically like 3 hours too. Really.
Yeah, but there's one, like, there's less.
You get breaks in between. You get, like, nice 20-minute breaks, but yeah.
I mean, baseball's fun. Like, Ty and I went to the home opener or season opener for the Jays. That was a fun game.
Just read Moneyball.
Yeah, that looked fun.
Yeah. Very good. Very good read.
It's a good movie, read too. Moneyball?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I watched the movie.
To be fair,
like
I haven't
times.
Read it. I've watched the movie about 4 or 5 times,
yeah,
for sure.
Because it's super good. The movie and the book are pretty I would say they're pretty similar. Obviously.
Every Michael Lewis movie is the same as the book, basically. More or less.
Which is good.
Less detail. That's the only thing. It's just way less detail. which is kind of like any.
I just watched Batman last night. It's pretty good. Not my hashtag. Not my Batman, but
yeah,
the new Batman.
Yeah,
yeah, the new Batman isn't as good as like the Dark Knight, but there are people saying it's better.
I think people think it's better, and I'm like, if you cut out maybe the last 45 minutes, it's probably a better movie.
I thought it was going to end, and then it just kept going.
I know.
I thought it was going to end like two times or three times, bro. And then it just go again.
I will stand by this. If the movie ended after like that scene where they're. Spoilers alert, by the way. If it ended in that scene where Batman's talking to the Riddler once they have him like arrested, I think it would have been like really good. But then they did that whole Gotham underwater and like
that was
incel
like,
shooter like copycats, and I was like, what the hell is this, man?
And I was like, why are they recruiting a bunch of Thais to join them?
Yeah. I was like,
dude, that whole time he was just staring at me. That whole scene, he's like, these are your friends.
The mafia. I thought the mafia was done so much better. Like the mafia mob shoot was if they ended it at that point, I think it could have been in the same tier as Dark Knight, the Dark Knight. But
I don't think it just kept going on. The same tier. Dark Knight, you were just hyped the entire movie, just like on the edge of your seat.
I know, but like, it wasn't people like make a good point that the Dark Knight is really carried by Heath Ledger. Like if the Joker's not in it, there's not many redeemable qualities.
I
thought a lot more of this new Batman was more well-rounded.
I have a comment to make.
Batman scenes.
Yeah, I have a comment to make that I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember the Dark Knight.
One sec.
What the hell? You don't remember the Dark Knight?
Okay.
Oh my god.
Ty is irrelevant. Like
that's completely irrelevant.
So I think Pattinson as Batman himself is okay. I didn't like Bruce Wayne, which is like secondary, very secondary. But I liked Bale
like
as Bruce. Yeah, I like Bale
like
as
too mopey.
Yeah, as Wayne, but obviously it's a different backstory, like a very different backstory than a normal Bruce Wayne backstory.
Yeah.
So,
I thought he held his own. I thought overall it was pretty good. It just it went so long. Ty originally wanted to go to the 10:45 showing, I think, and I was like, bro, we're gonna be in the movie theater until 2 o'clock in the morning.
And then they're like, yo, this movie's 3.5 hours long. And
bro,
and
so we were falling asleep at 10:30.
I went to the 10:30 movie.
I went at like 8 o'clock, and we were there pretty late. It was a long movie.
It's a long movie.
It was
movie.
So long.
Did you
see it in English or Spanish?
Spanish, obviously. Español is what it's called, Ty.
Could you imagine?
I just want to hear. It'd be so funny to hear the dub because they'd have some actor.
It'd be nuts.
Or would
they probably have some big Spanish actor doing it? Like I would guess.
It wouldn't be captioned, or would it be dubbed?
No, it'd probably be they dub all the stuff here a lot.
No, it's kind
of
lame. I hate dubs. I would prefer.
Yeah, I'd prefer captions over dubs every single time.
Yeah, I agree.
Or watching it in the language and then it's captioned into English. Like that's dub sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now we can talk back into the home opener. The Jays game was awesome. Down 7 and then coming back to win. I made a bet with Ty.
I followed you on that game with your story. I was just like, we're losing like 4-0.
Dude, it was such a mood. I went into that game being like, I really want to buy a Jays jersey tonight, and like went in financially prepared to do so. And then they were losing 7-0, and I was like, I'm not paying for – if they lose 7-0, I'm not – they don't deserve my money tonight. I'll still buy it, but it'll be another point in the season. And then I made a bet with Ty. I was like, Ty, if they come back and win this game, I'm going to buy that jersey tonight. And then they bought the jersey
bought two jerseys.
No, he went like all out. Like he was like searching for the baby blue George Springer jersey. They didn't have it at one. Then he went downstairs to like the main one. This was like half an hour after the game. They went to like the main fan shop on the first floor, and they're like, oh, we don't have your size. So he was going to get like a blank one, and they were just going to put a name on it and mail it out to him. And then as soon as he was like filling out that form for like his address, this dude comes out of the back. He's like, I got one.
Yeah, they like they liked me a lot. So
yeah. And also, yeah, I wanted to make a comment.
It's going to spend $100-something on a jersey.
I wanted to make a comment that
220 actually.
When you go to a Jays game, 220. Okay. Yeah, Eric.
Oh my god.
Eric and Martin.
Oh my god.
When you go
220.
Okay. When you go to a Jays game, Eric and Martin, what attire would you wear? What would you wear?
Sorry,
to a game?
I just love interrupting you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. What would you wear to a game? Like a blue t-shirt for the Jays, or you know, like a jersey. What do you think Luke wore to the game before he got the jersey?
Like what team were they playing? Who were they playing again?
Texas.
No, you're not going to get it. He was wearing a hoodie with super bad quotes and scenes on it.
Dude, that's one of my best sweaters.
That sounds pretty standard for Toronto people, man.
Dude, I get so many compliments on that sweater.
Superbad is a sick movie. Why not?
Yeah, Superbad's funny.
Maybe I'm going to the Jays game. A little odd, but...
I when I was buying the jersey, the cashier asked me what my favorite Superbad scene was because they saw it. And he's like, Luke, the cashier was flirting with you. I'm like, no, I just don't think you had a conversation with a woman in a really long time. You don't know what it looks like. She was just asking me what scene from Superbad is my favorite because I'm wearing a Superbad shirt. And then the guy that found my jersey came out and he's like, have you ever been told you look like Jonah Hill? And I'm like, actually I have been told that by like five different people. But yeah, I said I get more often. No, I don't think I look like Jonah Hill that. Maybe with a hat and a mask more, but I've been told more that I sound like Jonah Hill than that I look like Jonah Hill. And I've had it from like people that run in completely different circles, so I don't know.
No, I can see the Jonah Hill comparison for sure.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Jonah Hill in Moneyball, definitely.
Are you calling me fat, bro? That's Jonah Hill at his fattest. Thanks, Martin.
But it's his, like, most nerdy. Like, you don't look like Jonah Hill in the most recent movie because, like, he looks.
Because he's like a stick now. He lost like 100 pounds.
His hair's slicked back more.
Oh, like, don't look up. Yeah, that movie was so bad. That movie was so bad. I don't even think I got halfway through. Oh,
I like
you're a clown who likes climate change. Martin, in their face.
Martin is definitely has some questionable taste in movies and TV shows.
He's got some questionable.
I've already told this story
recently
before,
too,
but
geez.
He binge watched 10, 12 seasons of The Big Bang Theory over like a month long period. It was insane.
Martin's humor would be Big Bang Theory. That explains so much about him, honestly.
To be fair, it was just kind of on in the back. Like Eric and I would have full blown conversations.
He still watched it a fair bit. He watched it way too much.
Is your new favorite show Young Sheldon?
No, I never watched.
Oh, Martin's gonna watch it eventually. He's gonna get bored one day. He's gonna turn it on, and it'll never come off for a whole month.
I think the only show that I would judge someone on being like a favorite of theirs just as much as The Big Bang Theory. But probably not to the same amount.
I never said it was a favorite. I just watched it.
How I Met Your Mother is also like a pretty crappy show.
No, How I Met Your Mother is great. Don't insult How I Met.
It has crappy points.
It has crappy points.
I liked it.
But it was overall way better than Big Bang Theory.
Ben sucks, obviously. Obviously.
Ted is the worst. I hate Ted.
Ted sucks.
He's got like no redeeming qualities as a main character.
That's part of what makes the show good is because he sucks.
Yeah.
So you just laugh at his shittiness.
You just love it because Barney and Marshall are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Barney and Marshall are like the two redeeming
parts
of
the
show. Robin
Martin
also
is Barney. Martin is Barney. Luke is Marshall and Eric is Ted.
Oh, that's so
tight. You're more of a Ted.
Very insulting. Eric's not very much like Ted.
If anything, Eric's like Barney. Like at least the first four seasons.
I don't know if
that's
also insulting or not.
The first four seasons of Barney, where he's like emotionless and just a man whore.
Barney didn't
age well.
Eight
seasons of Barney. Yeah, that's like all season. Actually, the end of the show also ended with him being like that.
That's true. I liked Barney with Robin, but I didn't like Robin ever. I don't think Robin was ever good.
So,
I liked Robin. I mean,
I liked Robin. I didn't like Lily.
Lily was.
I liked Lily more than Robin.
Lily sucked. Pretty annoying. The San Francisco thing.
You'll never forgive her.
I can never forgive her after that. I was heartbroken.
I get it. I get that. I think that happens a lot, and I think some people don't do what she did, and I think that's
poor. Okay. Well, how about this?
I don't know.
How about we get talking about hockey?
15 minutes talking TV.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show. The first thing I wanted to talk about, like we're 10 games away from the end of the year. I think the most interesting conversations and one that we've been seeing a lot has been the Hart Trophy. Obviously, the controversy around that. I think the 50-50 that's been up for debate, which I don't know if there's much debate around it. And then people are bringing up the play-in again now that we're almost near the playoffs. I think the play-in is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Personally. So we can talk about that. What do you guys want to talk about first?
Let's start with the awards, what's set and what's kind of questionable.
It's just the Hart Trophy. It's just the Hart Trophy we should be talking about.
Because
we could talk about the trophies when the nominees come up, but you know, Martin, let's hear Martin's thoughts of who he thinks should win the Hart Trophy, because
it's obviously Brady Kachuk,
let's be real, guys. Chris Neal,
Nick Paul,
but only while he was
Matthew Joseph.
Now, yeah, Nick Paul for the first half of the season, Matthew Joseph for the second half.
Funny story quickly, Martin sends us a picture in our other group chat, and it's just a picture of Matthew Joseph in like a suit, like just a normal suit. And he's like, look at this.
I sent that in your guys' group chat just on Instagram.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was Ty and Luke in it? I thought you sent it to the Robert, Jeremy, and me one.
Oh, did I?
I didn't get
it. Yeah, you said, I think you sent it to the wrong one.
Maybe.
Anyways, it was just a picture of Matthew Joseph in a suit, and he's like, look at that style. And it
was no, just like man. I said, look at the drip.
Okay, hey. He said, look at the drip. Sorry. And it was just
a good drip.
And I was
it was
like,
good drip.
Okay.
I don't know. He was looking fly in it.
Also, I don't like – it feels wrong when Martin says drip or fly. Does anyone else agree?
It feels wrong when Martin says a lot of words.
That's true.
Like, I feel like he should be someone who's conservative and only says conservative talking points. You know, like, as soon as he says anything woke, I'm like, well, this is not what a Kingston boy should be saying.
It's not allowed. I've had people tell that to me. Like, they were like, oh, you believe that? I would have thought you would have believed the opposite of that.
It's probably Mel just all the time going, wait, I'm not dating a racist asshole. Oh,
no. It was actually Hannah one of the times.
Really? Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, back to hockey. Hart Trophy. Is the debate just simply between Austin Matthews and McDavid? Is that what people are kind of saying?
Well, and Shesterkin and Huberdeau and Draisaitl.
Yeah. I mean,
they're all up.
Yossi's coming up.
It's so ridiculous if anyone says Draisaitl or Huberdeau because they're not even the best player on their own teams, first of all. Like, at least if you're going to go for the hard trophy, say Shesterkin, McDavid, and Matthews. Like, those are the only real ones.
I think what Shesterkin has actually not been.
I think Boudreaux's got a good argument.
Yeah.
Shesterkin has a good argument. I agree.
I said Goudreau. Goudreau has a very good argument.
He does too. He's the best player on his team.
Because he's got the most even strength points in the league, I think.
Also, Calgary.
He had 100 points.
Calgary was dog shit last year, and so was Goudreau. And I think him making the step back, step forward, coming back and being like, yeah, I exist. Calgary exists as a team and we're sick. Good call not trading me, you assholes. Like, I think
this isn't the most improved player.
I know.
If it was, it'd probably be a combination of.
I will say this though, Trey Living is going to win GM of the year. I don't even.
That know will annoy me because what, I still doing don't think nothing? He did. He got
Toffoli. He got
Toffoli.
But they were good better. Before that.
He got Coleman. No, he didn't get Lindholm. He got Coleman. He got who'd they trade
Toffoli
for?
Toffoli and Coleman aren't the reasons that this team is where they are now. Like they were.
I know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Eric, you know that doesn't
matter. I'm saying I agree with you. He'll get nominated, but I don't think he should win. Like there's no reason.
Well, we know it's going to be three of the top
because he's him and the. Who's their coach?
Sutter.
Sutter, yeah. Both of them will be nominated, right? For sure. They shouldn't win, though. Actually, Sutter has a case to win.
Sutter has a pretty good case to win.
Or Sutter did nothing, though.
That doesn't matter. Like, people don't care. Like, that's going to be –
what did Lou do last year, the past 2 years?
It's going to be three of the last four GMs in the league, and if the Leafs are there, it's going to be Dubas that is the odd one out. For not getting nominated.
Oh, yeah, because they always wait to vote till the conference finals, right?
Yeah,
right.
So it's going to be three of the four.
Red Living might not even get it because Calgary might not even make it past the first.
That's true. But I think they will. The West is pretty easy, it seems like, and they're a pretty dominant team. I don't know, man. I think as a Leafs fan, I want it to be Matthews. I think there's great cases for others, but I mean, man. People discrediting the whole 50-50 thing because it didn't happen from the first game are so – people that discredit Matthews for that, you're so stupid. Like, you are the dumbest people to exist on the planet. It's 50-50.
No 51 one, and like, 50, actually.
50, yeah, 51, 51 and 50. 50. The official one is from the start of the season. Bro, I think one person has ever done that. Like, that's the official list. Most people have not done it from game one. They've done it, and they did it in scoring errors.
There was four or five that have done it from game one.
But any other?
Like, but they were in like the 80s and 70s. Yeah.
Other person that has done this, or any other team that did this, they would all be doing the same thing with their player. They'd be bragging about him. They'd be flaunting him. It's a Toronto player. People love to hate Toronto. I don't know why we just can't like appreciate greatness sometimes. Like I don't think. I don't really – I mean, I do see some Leafs fans hate on McDavid and think Matthews is better. But they still think, like, McDavid's a top two player in the league, right? Like, the credit is still given, but no one thinks Matthews is a top two or top three player in the league. Like, it's kind of
right
ridiculous.
Right now, he's the best player in the league.
Why can't we appreciate talent? Why can't we just appreciate the fact that this guy's doing something that's only happened in 26 years?
I think right now you can't say he's not – performing as the best player in the league. Whether you think he will continue this is a different story. Like next season, McDavid takes over, but this season, it's not close anymore. Like maybe 20 games ago, 15 games ago, you could say it's kind of close. You can't say it's close anymore. Like Matthews is among the best in the league defensively, the best goal scorer, probably the second best offensive player behind McDavid. Like, I don't see where the argument is to make it for any. Like, Huberto, is Huberto even ahead of Matthews in points anymore? Just base points? Is he?
Six points.
Okay, so 6 points, but what, a 30-something goal difference?
Yeah, and primary points is insane. It's insanely different.
Five on 5 points.
The
only thing, and every public model who looks at goals above replacement, wins above replacement, whatever, the only thing that Matthews doesn't do better than anyone in the league is draw penalties. If he drew more penalties,
he would be so far above everyone.
Yeah. Unironically, if he dove more, it wouldn't even be close. That's the only thing that McDavid is causing McDavid to be like so close to him this year.
That skate on skate trip on the power play last night when Tuck like trips him with his skate, everyone called Matthews a diver there. Like there was a lot of comments saying he dove, and I'm like, he didn't even get the call. Like, first of all, he didn't dive. Second of all, he didn't get the call. And he knows that he's probably not going to get the call. He's gotten 8 or 9 drawn penalties now. He knows he's not getting a call.
Yeah, that's also insane. 70 games.
We should add that Huberdeau's 6 points ahead, but 5 games ahead or something. Yeah, 5.
That's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking about. It wasn't points. It was points per game. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah, points per game, way ahead. Mm-hmm. Like 0.15 or 0.17 or something like that. Like it's a noticeable gap. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like Draisaitl. Like Draisaitl makes no sense to me in the conversation at all. Like,
Draisaitl,
no offense to him, he's a top 10 player in the league, but yeah, he doesn't make.
Draisaitl started off so hot. He was like, for the first 20 games, he had 20 goals, and everyone was like, "This is the best run."
And that's
ever.
The problem. Yeah, and that's the problem. Everyone's still thinking like, what happened those first like 20, 30, 40, 50 games, and not what's happened in the last 30 games.
How much? Like,
go ahead, Martin.
Get off of Matthews for a little bit. Get back to the topic at hand. How much should Shesterkin be considered?
Well, he's not been great in March.
He just had a shutout a couple days ago.
Well, he was...
Overall, he's been average.
Overall, he's been...
But...
As elite.
New York, did we see the Rangers in the playoffs in the first place?
So there's a couple things to note about this first before we say this. The Rangers have been way better since the trade deadline. Like substantially better.
Yeah.
Like
much ranking better 20th, defensively,
mid-20s to low-20s in a bunch of different metrics. You know, expected goals for, expected goals against, all these different metrics. And now they're like third, fourth, fifth, sixth, second and something. Like they've insane improvement, first of all.
Were some of our followers ever since, correct in that the Rangers improved the most?
It's a small sample size. I think they did improve. I think everyone agreed that they improved, but they didn't improve because they made some insane acquisitions. They improved because they took out like 4 players out of their lineup that were just complete dog shit. Mm-hmm. Right? Which is what we said. I think we discussed it on this podcast. We said, take out 4 players that are just completely
and not replace NHL them with actual NHL players.
You're taking out a whole line or 2 or 1.5 lines of people that are just completely drowning your team. Right? They didn't actually need to go and add anyone. A lot of those players probably existed within the organization. They just weren't getting game time too. So that's besides the point. But anyways, ever since the Rangers deadline, though, Shesterkin's been worse. So it's almost like Shesterkin needs a worse team to play in front of to, you know, like light it up, essentially. So that's just one thing to consider. But I think he should be third or even second.
Right. Yeah. Now. I think he's pretty. I still think
Carey Price won. Carey Price won the heart having half of the season that Shesterkin's having, not actually half the season, but like 3/4 as good of a season.
But Carey Price didn't have a Panarin. I don't remember that year.
The best forward they had was Patch Reddy. Best defenseman they had at the time was PK Subban.
Because Panarin's still in top 10 scoring.
Yeah, right? But that doesn't help him defensively.
No, of course not. But
ignore Shesterkin's wins. Let's say he lost every single game. I'd still say he deserves the heart, or close to the heart. Ignore the wins for a second. The guy has just been stopping everything for the Rangers. You know, Not actually zero wins.
When you're looking at actual,
if he's a non-playoff goalie, he gets a low.
There's a bit of extreme, but my point still stands. Where it's not even about the wins or anything like that of what Panarin's influencing. He's just been so much better than everyone else. He's still going to have one of the best goalie seasons ever, far better than anything Carey Price has done.
When you're looking at when you're looking at like any like goalie models and metrics, like Frederik Andersen is like right up there with everything that Shesterkin's doing this
year. Yeah, but Carolina was suspected to make the playoffs. Like,
is that how we determine the Hart Trophy? In the past it is.
Like,
right? Like it was your team can't be too good, your team can't be horrible.
If there is a player, like when Taylor Hall won it, right? Like New Jersey had no business being there, and Taylor Hall was 40 points ahead of the next guy on New Jersey. I don't think it was 40 points. It was like 20 something, maybe.
It was like 30 or something. It was a huge
number. Like, and he obviously.
It was 50 to 90. It might have actually been 40.
He brought, like, because it's the most valuable player to the team. Like,
to their team, yeah.
Obviously, Taylor Hall was the most valuable player to his team that year. So, looking at it, Matthews, like, obviously people don't like the argument, but Matthews still has Marner. If Matthews gets 70 goals, I think he's a runaway, like, wins it no matter what.
What's the award for
I think if Matthews gets 65, player
of the season?
Ted Lindsay.
If the players don't vote Matthews after scoring almost 70 goals for the Ted,
I think he's guaranteed.
I think they have. I think they're gonna vote for him, right? I can see the argument for who's more valuable to their team, Matthews versus Shesterkin. Shesterkin puts the Rangers in the playoffs higher in their division. Matthews does too, but Leafs probably still make the playoffs without him.
I don't think so, man. It's a totally different dynamic than
just the division alone. You know
who's gonna? I mean, when they're out, they won
in the Atlantic division. Who's gonna pass the Leafs in the Atlantic division? Buffalo,
Boston, Detroit. Buffalo's actually been okay recently.
Boston would pass Toronto for sure if Matthews was out. I don't doubt that.
But the Leafs are still there. The
number four, right?
Yeah, They would definitely be the fourth best team without Matthews.
And I think what's also like crazy is that Matthews is playing like Selke level defense while, you know,
I don't know, man. Playing. He's only very a plus rare 14. He's only
it's
plus 14
never
time.
Happened where players put up something along the lines of 50 plus goals and still had elite defense results. I don't think that's actually ever
every
50 goal scorer in the past 10 years, I'd bet. None of them had an elite defensive season.
But voters don't care about that. Like, not the old ones.
They always care about that, except for when it's specific teams or players.
People, like, some people will still look at his plus minus and think this guy's not a good.
Well, he doesn't. I mean, a big argument is he doesn't penalty kill, which I understand. Should your best defensive player
I don't think anyone's voting for him for the Selke.
Well, he's going to get votes. It's going to be Bergeron's to win as usual.
But he's not going to land top 3. There's no way.
I think if Bergeron retires, they rename the Selke trophy the Bergeron trophy. I feel like they have
to. Oh, you got to give it like 10 years.
Yeah, you can't do it right away.
Dude, who cares about Selke?
Actually, you know what? Hockey's never going to change their trophy.
Yeah, like honestly.
Nah, they're never going because they didn't even change anything after Gretzky, man.
Because how is
Bergeron going to get something if Gretzky didn't get anything?
How is the Norris not the Orr at this point?
True. Yeah. Good point. These are good points. Yeah. You're right. He's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luke, you're just dumb.
I don't know. Okay, people think.
I just want you to know that you're dumb.
Stop talking. I'm trying to add more to the conversation beyond just Matthews and Shesterkin. People think there's arguments for Goudreau and for Roman Josi. I think the Roman Josi argument is given the Norris. I don't think he's had a consistent year where he could be MVP status.
He even deserves the Norris. So I think there's two defensemen that have stumbled better than him, Adam Fox and Cale Makar.
True, but I mean, this guy's on a tear. He's on a tear.
He's on a tear. He's on a tear. Him and
that will
him and Forsberg just randomly both decided to have the best years of their careers this year.
If Josi hits 40 goals, I don't know. If Josi hits 100 points, do you think he gets it?
Oh man, it's gonna be hard for him not to. But I think voters will still see Makar and vote Makar.
Oh man, if Yosi gets 100 points, he wins the Norris. Like, come on,
Makar might put up 30 goals still, man.
So, I don't think defense 30 goals. No, that's not true.
No, that's not true at all. That's not true. Did you just say defensemen do 30 goals, first of all?
Didn't Mike Green do it not too long?
Kale McCarr's at 25 goals. Mike Green did it a long time. Another five.
But
Mike Green did it
in
2010.
Has any defenseman put up 100 points in a while? Like,
Erik Karlsson was the last one to do it, really? Or
no, Erik Karlsson never did 100.
Okay, then.
Karlsson never did 100, but he did.
I don't think anyone did 100.
He did lead the league in assists. He did lead the league in assists.
Yeah, he got like an assist a game or something. Yeah.
I think
in like 10 goals.
If Yossi hits 100 points, he'll probably still have 20 goals, which is enough.
Yeah, I think if he got 100, he would win it for sure.
Yeah, me too.
And I think if Matthews gets over 65 goals, he wins the Hart for sure.
I think if he gets over 60, he should get it.
No one's done 60 since Stamkos.
Did Stamkos win that year? 2011?
Did he? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, he didn't.
Probably not.
I don't think Stamkos has.
He's never won the Hart.
Yeah, I don't think Stamkos has a Hart.
I don't know. I think. Okay, we can move off this now.
We should have an episode where we do quizzes. Quiz on cup winners.
We'll do that in the summer. That's a good idea.
If people can remember.
Okay. Now I want to talk about the play-in, because obviously basketball is doing their play-in. The NBA is doing their play-in right now.
Exciting. I will.
Bro,
say.
Okay. I would be pro play-ins in like a 56 game season.
100% agree with Luke.
100%. I am not.
You go to 80 games. You had 80
if you.
Games.
I'm sorry. If you can't do it in 82 games, you suck. I do not care.
Yeah, I agree.
You should not get to participate. You had 82 games to figure that shit out.
Soccer leagues have 36 to 38 games, and they decide from there. Like, you do not need, even 56 games is enough. Like, you do not need 80 games and then a play-in to decide who gets the playoffs. Well, you got enough games. You got your chance. You had an opportunity to fix shit, and you didn't. You miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially because of how bad this, like, if you look at this season especially, like, your playoffs were already set in the East at least. And
yeah,
like,
so who's
November.
In the playoff? Who's in the play-ins? Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit versus Washington and, you know, Boston.
The Islanders are in there.
No.
You're giving these teams
that
are 20 points behind a one-off chance to get, like, come on, man.
Yeah, no, it's garbage. It's garbage. Like, you're not going to run down 80 games and then have three games of luck to decide who makes the playoffs.
Hockey fans talk about all the time how it's, there's no participation trophies. Play-ins are participation trophies for the ninth and 10th place team. That's what it is.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Like, if you can't do it, and they're talking about, like, I think on TSN, all three of them voted for yes to the play-in, and it's like, it used to be 21 teams and 16 teams made it, and I'm like, okay, like, why should, now that we have 32, like, what? So we already have half the league make it. That to me is already
half
a large portion of teams that
way
make
too
it
many already. Half of the league is already too many teams.
I think that's a large portion of teams that make
it. You're making the playoffs because you were the 16th best team.
Yeah,
you were in the 50th percentile of the league and you make the playoffs. I think that's a good enough cutoff for us to, like, I don't even know why this is a conversation. Why is it a conversation every year? I don't know. I don't understand.
There are things that I'd rather
the NBA
see.
NBA does it.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL did it and it was sick, but the NFL's like a different beast.
No, they didn't do it.
Yeah, they do a play-in game, don't they?
No, a wild card game.
No, they do
and
a
they
buy.
Add an extra wild card game or something? They did.
No,
something
they added an extra wild card team.
Okay.
Yeah, like the NFL more gets
wild cards basically play.
There's teams with buys in the NFL more than there are play-ins.
Yeah. Buys are huge in the NFL though.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want the team that's deserving to be in to be in.
Yeah,
you know? You can't. Right. Yeah, like you're saying that. Like, and then imagine if like it's a one game or three game series, and Detroit randomly beats Boston. You know,
which
two
is
of
entirely
three
possible in a three game series, like Buffalo. Out of the last three games they played against the Leafs, Leafs have won
all three.
They won
all three. About money and watching games. Wouldn't these be highly watched games?
Though? No.
I don't give a shit about watching Buffalo or Detroit versus Washington to get in the playoffs.
Fair enough.
Did you watch any of the NBA ones, Luke?
No.
Yeah.
But I'm not a good candidate for it. I know who won because Patrick Beverly was going viral on Twitter.
There's two right now going.
This is it. Okay. If you think about it from this lens of the money value, if Buffalo and the Leafs did a play-in and then Buffalo made it and the Leafs didn't, Leafs not being in the playoffs for seven games is worth way less than Buffalo being in it for seven games. Mm-hmm. Like, they're losing money by the Leafs and not being in it. Mm-hmm. They're basically losing the money that pays for the Phoenix Coyotes to exist for the next year with seven game series. Like, if you're talking strictly out of money, it would be Toronto, Pittsburgh, Montreal, New York Rangers and make it. Yeah,
sure. But like, but it also wouldn't make a difference making amount of money. Like, there's so many other things the league could do to make real money that does not involve making a stupid play-in so that the teams that ended up 10 points ahead of another team suddenly don't make the playoffs because of a bad two-game run.
Long-term,
it wouldn't make more money. Like, imagine if Columbus knocked out Boston in a play-in round. They're losing so much money by Columbus being there over Boston.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, the three-game series doesn't make up for the amount of money that they lose by Boston.
You're right. It might be a wash depending on the teams that get in or get out.
There's other things I'd rather see them do to the playoffs before doing a play-in. One is 3 points for a win, 2 points.
That would separate all the loser point teams anyway, right?
Like,
it's gonna. There won't even be a contest to, between 9 and 8 and 9, probably.
That's what they should do instead of that. They should do that first. They should organize it by points percentage instead of by points. That would be another good way to do it. Or they do like in season play it, like they reduce the number of games and then do a play-in. Like, there's so many other things I'd rather see them do before them. I see them do a play-in. The play-in was a one-off thing.
You weren't going to finish the season.
Yeah, that made sense. Like, that made sense.
Honestly,
but
it still didn't make sense to me for the 56 game run. Still to this day does not make sense how you had 56 games. That's more than enough games to determine who's better and who should make the
playoffs. I mean, I agree.
Well, it also it was unexpected, though. I think
if you're trying to justify 82 games.
Yeah.
I also think like another good way to do it is move the trade deadline to like January. You have 3 months to figure your team out, and then that way you have a better
That's too much time.
You mean not enough time?
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant.
But again, that's the argument. Like, some teams get better after the trade deadline. They go on a run, still miss the playoffs, right? Like, if that's the argument, you could move it a month or two.
Sure, but you could also just make the move earlier and stop being a little bitch. Like, there was plenty of teams that made moves like 2 weeks before the deadline and didn't wait till the last day.
Toffoli.
It's your fault. Yeah, Toffoli was moved how long ago? 2 months ago? Yeah. Longer than that? Right, like you make the moves. Like, there's plenty of teams that are out of the playoffs in December.
But
many teams.
It also
you knew the entire bottom half of the Atlantic Division.
It also allows
was not the, making the playoffs in November. You had plenty of time to scout those teams.
That's not average. That's not average. And
it's not average. But there, how many teams in the West did we know were not making the playoffs by December?
Mm-hmm. Like,
At least six or seven. Like, you know,
the West
like
is still
six,
pretty
for
up
sure.
for grabs in the bottom.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, you have Arizona wasn't making it, and
the West
Seattle
isn't really that up to grabs. I think Vegas has a maybe like 30% chance of making the playoffs. They have a 53% chance of missing it. Vancouver has a 95% chance of missing the playoffs right now, even with their 5-game win streak or whatever that's going on. And then Winnipeg's basically no chance. Islanders, no chance. Columbus, no chance. San Jose, no chance. Ducks, no chance. You know, like, go on. There's so many teams that we knew were not making playoffs. You can make a move in December, really.
Imagine one of those teams, like, they had a play-in round with those teams, and, like, they're just going to get, no matter who makes it, they're getting smoked by Colorado or they're getting smoked by Calgary. Right.
Well, even imagine if the play-in round was like Nashville versus freaking Winnipeg or something. How many people are really going to care that much about that series?
The West is like insanely bad.
Yeah. Outside of Colorado.
Do you think Colorado's fake tie because they face bad teams?
I mean, no, I don't think that they are. But also, like, I think that Calgary is a huge, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if Eric was here, but like Calgary is like is like built perfectly to handle Colorado. So that's going to be, if it gets to that point.
I know what they did.
Yeah. If it gets to that point, which we all hope it does, right? Where it's a Colorado versus Calgary.
That would be the ideal
conference
matchup.
Finals.
Yeah.
That's going to be sick.
Yeah, I mean, Calgary has by far the easiest road. Because who are they facing in the first round right now? It's
probably LA or Edmonton or
I was going to say LA, it looks like.
Or Vegas. I mean, Vegas could pick it up if Mark Stone's dressed now.
No, Calgary's not facing either of those teams in the first round.
Who are they playing?
They would face like the Predators or the Stars currently, or possibly Vegas.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't think any
Colorado
of those
would be facing one of those teams.
Yeah. They get the second wild card. No,
they get the second wild card, who's not the Oilers or the Kings. The Oilers or the Kings would face each other first round.
I don't think Oilers are going to dummy the Kings, man.
Oilers could pull a surprise, for sure.
Which is, if McDavid gets like 40 points in the playoffs,
But I just don't see the Oilers going on a run. Like there's
Oilers versus Flames would also be a really fun series.
Oilers
which would be
Flames
second
would be
round.
Most,
that would be second round.
Would be, I think, Oilers versus Flames, Toronto versus Boston are the two series to watch in the first round if those actually happen.
If Toronto versus Boston happens again, I don't think I'm worried.
Leafs are currently playing Boston in the first round.
I know, so, but I like
as of right now.
No, they're playing
without Boston. Rask. I'm actually not.
Rask concerned. Sucks.
They're playing
Rask
who right
did
now,
not suck.
Martin?
They're playing the Lightning right now.
Yeah, it changes
everything. I think the most likely outcome right now is that they end up playing Boston. That's what I saw. It's like it's 7%, 10% difference or something, but that's the likelihood.
No one's talking about Tampa's shit play recently.
Well, it's because they won two cups. They get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Right?
I also think they might want to be like the wild card.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, they'll take Carolina.
I don't know. Anything could happen, really. Like,
no, the East is up for grabs right now because Florida is looking awesome. But Florida's also had some struggles against better teams too. We can't forget that.
But they can score at will.
They also have one of the worst percentages versus playoff teams.
And they get a big upgrade if and when Ekblad comes back.
Huge upgrade. No.
Florida also doesn't have the playoff pedigree, like, at all.
Man, they also faced... Man, they
Calgary
faced
doesn't
last
have the
year.
Playoff
that,
pedigree also.
That series was fun.
Calgary
coach,
has no playoff
the coach
pedigree.
Has playoff pedigree.
I don't give a shit about the coach having playoff pedigree.
Sutter's a good coach, man. Pedigree. Even though he's a boomer, he's a good coach.
Calgary's faced Colorado or something like every time.
No, Calgary...
Yeah, I think the last time they got kicked out was...
To Colorado.
In five series, games. Yeah. That was when Colorado like surprised. They were like the worst team in the league, and then they got the wild card.
They
beat
team
Calgary.
In the league and then went to wild card spot next year.
And then beat Calgary in like five games, but that was the Mike Smith special. I'll never forget
Holy
that.
Actually, that was 2 years later. I don't think it was a
Florida's 31-6-0 at home, man. That's insane.
Yeah, they're a home specialty team, and they also beat up a lot on weak teams, but they can score at will. They do have, if you're looking at the team, they do have the biggest weakness in net because I don't know how much you trust Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or Spencer.
I mean, Bobrovsky's had a rebound year for sure, but he's been garbage for 2 years essentially. And he's been really bad in the playoffs in the past. He had, of course, he had
if
the
If you're
one
trusting
playoffs
goaltending
against,
in the playoffs, yeah. You're trusting Vasilevsky out of the Atlantic.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to face Tampa solely because of Vasilevsky.
Yeah, exactly. Boston's goaltending, I'm not like stressed out about that.
Olmark and Swayman. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm not stressed about Boston.
And I'm not stressed about Bobrovsky.
The Rangers kind of scary.
I'm really not that stressed out about Anderson. I know he's having a phenomenal year, but as a Leaf, I've just seen him let us down. So
he lets in goals. We were saying this in the chat. He lets in goals at like the worst possible time.
Yeah, I think who said it was? He's the Jake Gardner of goalies.
I said that.
The worst plays at the worst times. Yeah, so that was Luke. That was a good analogy by Luke.
Like every time he, I can't say I've seen he's had a great year, but like when he's played the Leafs, he's just let in one god awful goal. Right?
Yeah.
He'll make like 30 saves, but like let in one or two just awful goals.
Winnipeg missing the playoffs really makes me happy.
Yeah, I hate
Winnipeg.
Yeah. They get no negative publicity. They get.
They didn't fire.
Winnipeg's a disaster.
They didn't fire Maurice. Maurice is like, I'm going to leave this team. I don't want to be here.
Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, I mean, Maurice should have been fired.
Minnesota versus St. Louis. Minnesota versus St. Louis, I think, would be a really good series.
That's what's happening.
It wouldn't be. I don't think it would be a very good offensive series, though. Those are two teams that know how to play and shut it down. Minnesota,
I mean, yeah,
they're a good team, but those are two teams that are going to look to shut it down in the playoffs.
Which I mean, they're the fifth and sixth highest scoring teams in the league, too, man.
Oh, yeah. They can score. Minnesota has fucking Kaprizov going off this year, Zuccarello going off this year, Ryan Hartman going off this year, Marcus Foligno suddenly becoming like a 60-point guy or something.
Yeah.
Thrill the thrill.
They have offense, but they're going to shut it down in the playoffs.
No, because it's like Florida, Toronto, Colorado, then literally Minnesota, St. Louis in terms of goal scoring. Like, honestly, Tampa's taken such a – I think Tampa's problem has been they can't score recently, man. Like, they used to be on par with Leafs per game in terms of scoring. They're now 40 goals behind. Like, they just haven't been able to score recently.
Yeah, but they've never had problems scoring in the playoffs. Braden Point and Kucherov constantly
– Isn't Kucherov hurt?
No, he's been playing.
He's been playing.
I don't think he's had a really great year.
But they
though.
Go like, off in the playoffs, out. And that's when they went that they do it when it matters. Like Braden Point puts up like 70-ish point seasons in the regular season, and then goes like 2 points per game in the playoffs just every time.
I know.
So
he saves it all.
He literally saves it all. It seems.
Ty, you have to go, right?
Yeah, we can. I'll have to go to my mom soon. It doesn't really matter, but I don't. Okay. I'm taking the bus, so I'm not in a rush.
Also, speaking of Tampa, quickly, Stamkos is having a resurgence season. 30 goals, 80 points already.
Yeah, pretty good.
Who was writing him off?
I was.
It was Ty. Yeah.
Well, anybody else have anything to add before we go for the week?
No, that's it.
No, that was kind of the stuff I wanted to,
discuss. We hope everybody has a good Easter long weekend.
True.
Eric's coming back from Mexico on Saturday. He's really enjoyed himself for the past 2 months.
And I'm going back May 1st, too.
He's coming back for 2 weeks and flying
going
right back to
Mexico again.
Jeez, man.
Martin's shaking his head.
How long are you going back for the second time?
Just a week. But I might extend. We'll see.
Are you going with the same people as the first time or what?
A lot of the same people, yeah.
Nice.
Just more.
You should get new friends.
Yeah, more. But we've actually made so many friends here. Like, at Lowen, like, all of them that came with me, they all left. And I've just been chilling with all the new people we met here every single day, basically.
And met your girlfriend?
People. And my girlfriend. She's sleeping right over there.
She's been there, like, 3 weeks with you?
Yeah, she came after the first 2 weeks, so she's been here almost a month now.
She's not sick of you?
She doesn't
How
have school?
How could anyone be sick of me?
Didn't she have
exams?
She's
doing school from Mexico. Just
didn't
like
she
I'm
have
doing
exams?
Work. Yeah, she can
Aren't
study.
Schools back in person?
Also,
yeah, aren't exams in person?
No. None of her exams are in person. They're all online. So she has an exam tomorrow night, exam on like Monday or something, but we'll be back.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, she is a lucky.
Well. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. Have a great long weekend, as Ty said, and we'll...
We love
hopefully,
you.
I think by next week we'll have a clearer picture of like basically everyone who's in the playoffs. So maybe we can start talking about the matchups. Well, we did today, but more in depth. Okay, bye.
Peace out.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.